Okay, for June's Man, we have the privilege of trying to explore first the topic of Kiddush, which was a topic at the beginning of Parak Arvei Pesachim, and we had focused mostly on the Seder topics. And now we'll turn our attention to Kiddush, which requires us to understand a lot. And one thing to keep in the back of your mind, this is not the primary question, but as we try to understand the mitzvah of Kiddush and its implications and applications, let's also try to keep in mind the fact that Chazal put so much of it in Arvei Pesachim, and Kiddush, of course, as we noted, does double duty as one of the Dalet Kosos. So how do Kiddush and the Seder connect to each other? Is this just a mitzvah that just happens to apply also on Pesach? Or are there themes that really tie together Kiddush and the Seder that make it particularly helpful for us to learn these sugyas in the context of the Gemara's about the Seder? Spoiler alert, I think there are such themes, but we'll hopefully get to them. But to keep that in the back of your mind as we try to explore the basic obligation of Kiddush. So what we first have to try to figure out is just what is Kiddush. And that, as we'll see, is far more complicated than we might think, especially for a mitzvah that we are familiar with our whole lives, that we do at least once a week, really at least twice a week. That's a part of what we'll have to figure out. It is far more mysterious than it might seem. And on the surface, it seems fair and relatively safe to say that Kiddush is a mitzvah min haTorah. But, as we'll see, there's a lot that is not explained by that brief sentence. So, to begin with, let's try to explore three interrelated questions. First question is, well, before the first question, if I say Kiddush is a mitzvah min haTorah, where do you find it in the Torah? What pasuk am I referring to? Right, somebody help me, Levi? Okay, Zachar is a Meshavas Lekadsha, right? It's an important pasuk. It's one of the Ten Commandments. It's actually a unique mitzvah among the Ten Commandments for reasons that we'll talk about. Ten Commandments, by the way, is not really a great translation of Asaras Adibros, just using the English vernacular. But it's one of the Big Ten. If the whole role of those mitzvos within the whole Torah is a separate topic. But it certainly gets a lot of attention. It is up there on the wall in many shuls. So this is a very significant mitzvah. So it is true, like Levi said, that if we're going to say Kiddush is a mitzvah min haTorah, so then what we're talking about is that pasuk, Zachar Yisom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. But what remains to be determined is just how much of what we practice as Kiddush today comes from that pasuk. What is the full relationship between the pasuk of Zachar Yisom HaShabbos L'Kadsho and the mitzvah of Kiddush as we fulfill it? So that is a far less clear issue. And therefore it means that the sentence, Kiddush is a mitzvah min haTorah, is a little misleading. Because it doesn't necessarily tell us what the mitzvah min haTorah is as far as what we're actually doing, which is presumably some combination of Dinim D'Oraisa and Dinim D'Rabbanan. And in fact, there's one contemporary Sefer has to be called the Yumen Bahalacha, where he collected 15 shitas among the Rishonim and the Achronim on this question. Essentially, how much of our contemporary Kiddush is actually included in the pasuk of Zachar Yisom HaShabbos L'Kadsho? So let's start trying to consider three questions. One is, first, what does Kiddush mean for us practically? Two, this question, what does actually come from the pasuk, how much of it is in the pasuk, and how much of it is mitrabanan. And we're always particularly interested in understanding how Chazal adapted mitzvos or modified mitzvos, or where they got their inspiration from in general. It's always an important area for us to explore. So here, once again, there is a very rich territory for that. And the question which also we need to pay attention to while all of this is all coming through one path is, once we're trying to figure out what's included in the mitzvah d'oraisa, so it's one thing to try to look at that question, what does the Torah obligate us in? But also, especially, and this maybe is also connected to the larger Aseres HaDibros question, and why 10 ideas are singled out among 613 mitzvahs. But if I were to ask you, this commandment of the 10, Zachar Shema Shabbos Lekadsho, what is its main directive? What's the main thing the Torah is telling us to do? So how exactly would we understand that? In other words, is Kiddush the main mitzvah? Is it a part of a broader obligation? So all of these questions are clearly interconnected. And these are some of the things that we need to try to figure out. And the idea of the relationship between Dinam D'Oraisa and Dinam D'Rabbanan, this has particular resonance for us in terms of what we have talked about throughout the year and what we're more prepared to look at now in greater depth, given that introduction, is we've spoken many times from earlier in the year. We talked about Kiddush, we talked about the shofar on Shabbos and the lulav on Shabbos, and then as we talked about issues of the Seder, and as we talked about the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz, throughout the year, we've been considering questions of Dinim D'Rabbanan on top of Dinim D'Oraisa, and how they affect it. So if you'll recall, the question of Kiddush came up often as an example. That if we assume that there's some transition point, there's a mitzvah min haTorah, and there are also modifications from Chazal, how do those modifications affect the core mitzvah min haTorah? Is it possible to fulfill the mitzvah min haTorah and not fulfill all the dinim d'rabbanan? Or are some dinim d'rabbanan more important than others? So how exactly that plays out is also something to keep in mind. So with all of these many introductory questions, okay, so first of all, most basic, what does Kiddush require of us practically nowadays? Bizman Hazeh, the whole package, D'Oraisa and D'Rabbanan, what does it mean? What do we have to do? What are the major important details to be Yotzei Kiddush? Fully, min haTorah mid'Rabbanan. What does that ask us to do? Anyone want to help me out? What does the mitzvah require in a practical level? Okay, Ari?
It has to
be,
you have to have an amira with a kos.
Okay, so that's one element, two elements already. A statement, and there should be a kos. Okay, it's two things. Yeah? Okay, so modifying the statement, that the statement is not neutral. The statement has to have Yetzias Mitzrayim in it, okay? Right, which is the Gemara in the end of Arvei Pesachim, right? Okay, so a bunch more details there, right? That some of them modify the Amira, that the Amira should have some praise to it. And you said Haskara, so that goes to the language of the Pasuk, that there should be some acknowledgement, some remembering. And Maisa Bereishis is presumably the whole purpose of Shabbos overall, and Kiddush should mention that. Right, which is certainly also the impression we get from the Aseres HaDibros, that is what continues to be the idea. And we also mentioned Makom Suda. Okay, the kiddush should be in the place where we have our meal. Okay, so all of that is a part of what we realize to be kiddush nowadays. And as a matter of practical halacha, that's probably also true that every part that you mentioned is obligatory. Bizmana is that. What's obligatory minat Torah? What's obligatory midrabanan? That we don't know yet. But everything that you said is necessary for us to fulfill the mitzvah of kiddush as we have it nowadays. By the time it got to us nowadays, nothing that you mentioned there was just traditional or part of your personal experience. This is a part of what we require for kiddush. La halacha bizman hazeh. And there's still more, though. Anything else? So, especially if we expand the definition, so over the course of Shabbos, would that be all that we have to do? We have also another kiddush. Right? Yes, Menachem? Okay, so that's also an important question. That's the less obvious point, but it's also an important question. The relationship between kiddush and Havdalah is a very important question that we'll need to try to understand. And on a lot of levels. But certainly, as a matter of practical halacha, yes, we need to make Havdalah also. So we have kiddush at the beginning, Havdalah at the end. And in between, we also have another kiddush. Right, we have kiddush during the daytime. So, to fulfill our obligations practically, for the whole package, the rice and the rabbanans, we need all of those things. We need kiddush Friday night, on a kos. Didn't necessarily mention whether the kos has to be consumed at all. So another part of the discussion. But we need kiddush Friday night, al hakos, b'makom suda, with some kind of praise of the day and recognition of ma'aseh bereishis. And we also need to make kiddush again during the daytime. And we also need to make havdalah. So all of that is what we do nowadays. So now let's try to work backwards. How much of that would you say, and if you saw Rishonim to take one stance or another, you can certainly make reference to that, but either from your knowledge of Rishonim or from your instinct, right, because we have to interpret the Pasuk somehow in a way that we can relate to. So how much of all of that package is Min HaTorah? What possibilities are there? And again, you can't really go wrong. If you're going to scattershot guesses, you probably can't really go wrong, because I've already mentioned that there are at least 15 positions about this. So let's try to see how many we can come up with on our own, either just because how much do you think the pasuk can reasonably hold, and also how much may you have seen in other sources. So yeah, Levi? Okay. Okay, so one of the questions is, where does Yayin fit in? Right, that's a particularly Arve Psachim related question. Much of Kiddush is particularly Arve Psachim centered. But the idea that there is a role for wine that's associated with the Pasuk comes from our Parak, the Gemara Daf Kuvav. If you had a chance to see, the Gemara tells us that there is an obligation of wine, which is associated with the idea of Zohar, Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, says the Gemara, Zohreihu al Hayayin. It's a Medrash as well, it's a Mechilta, it's a Gemara in our Parak. This is an idea that Chazal conveyed to us. So the notion of wine as a part of the mitzvah, so that is a Gemara. And the Pasuk is quoted. However, as we know, not every time the Gemara mentions a pasuk means that that is the actual impact of the pasuk. Now, we also have a notion of asmachta, as Levi points out, and asmachta, I think we've talked about in the past, asmachta itself, without going into everything about that, it's a range of opinions as to what asmachta means. We normally work off the premise, like the Rambam says, that an asmachta is really a din midrabanan. And Chazal quoted the pasuk in order to help us remember it. Other Rishonim and later Sfarim also took different positions as far as whether the pasuk contains the meaning of the asmachta on any level at all. The Ritva, most prominently, argued on the Rambam, argued with very sharp language, not naming the Rambam, the Ritva wrote that to say that it's not included in the meaning of the pasuk is minus, is heretical on some level, that the pasuk is conveying to us in a less explicit manner that which the Gemara associates with it. But for the most part, to assume that asmachta is a straight din d'rabbanan. So there are Rishonim who take this position. And there really are many who weigh in on this issue, but just to mention some of the more prominent names, so Rashi, in a few places, sounds like he's including the din of Yayin in the Mitzvah Min HaTorah. That's how Rashi sounds in Nazir and Daf Dalin. It's not necessarily our favorite place to look, though, because Rashi on Nazir is not necessarily actually Rashi. So somebody else writing in Rashi's handwriting. So relying only on that Rashi is maybe not necessarily so helpful for us. But Rashi also seems to be saying that in Maseches Brachos. And Daf Chof and Mibbeis in Maseches Brachos, so there the Gemara tells us that women are obligated in Kiddush. And that's how we assume that women have a identical obligation in Kiddush to men. And that itself is a point that's going to require a lot of exploring, that the Gemara tells us that there's a Hekesh. This is a unique Hekesh, it's the only kind of Hekesh like this in the Torah, that normally a hekesh means you have two words in proximity. This is a mesorah, that there is a relevance from one to the other. Here you have two psukim that are very far from each other, almost as far as they could get from each other, Parshas Yisro and Parshas Veschanan. But the parallel in the Asaras Adibros is considered to connect them. So we have Zohar in Parshas Yisro, and we have Shamar in Parshas Veschanan. And Chazal tell us that Zohar v'Shamar b'dibur echad nemru, mash'ein ha'peh yochel adaber, v'ein ozen yochel ishmoa, that Kadosh Baruch Hu was able to pronounce both these words at once, even though we human beings could never do such a thing. So there is this connection between Zechira and Shmira. So what that connection is, we're going to have to explore also. We've talked about it a little bit in the middle of the year, but we'll explore this a little bit more here as well. But one halachic impact, the Gemara tells us, is that it creates a relationship between the two. And kol she'yeshno b'shmira, yeshno b'zechira. So women are obligated in Shmira Shabbos. If we understand, and there's something more to explore here too, but let's say for now that Zohar refers to the positive aspects of Shabbos, and Shamar refers to the negative aspects of Shabbos. Shamar refers to the Isser Malacha. So women are for sure obligated in the Isser Malacha. It's a prohibition. So no reason why women should not be obligated in that. And if we assume that there's a connection between Zechira and Shmira, kol she'yeshno b'shmira, yeshno b'zechira, so women are obligated in Zechira also. So the scope of that is actually a debate among the Rishonim. Some Rishonim will explore this a little bit more. Some Rishonim saw this as saying all the positive mitzvot of Shabbos are obligatory upon women because of this connection. But at a minimum, we know that the Gemara says that Kiddush is an obligation on women. So Kiddush, you could have thought, was a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. And women should have been peturos. No, they're not. They're obligated, and they're fully obligated minat Torah. And this is similar to Russia, to the obligation of matzah for women. Matzah also, you would have thought, was a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. But here too, so there you have a link between chametz and matzah. So whoever is subject to the prohibition of chametz is subject to the obligation of matzah. Women are obligated to. So matzah and kiddush already have that in common. So the Gemara in this context, the Gemara says in Brachos that nashim chayavos bekiddush dvar Torah. Women are obligated min haTorah in kiddush because of this hekesh. And commenting on that, Rashi over there says that that is, well, Rashi brings in the reference to Zochreyu Alayayin. Zochre Shem Shabbos L'Kadshah, Zochreyu Alayayin. So since he's interpreting that Gemara that tells us women are obligated min haTorah in Kiddush, it sounds like an indication that Rashi is saying that the wine is min haTorah. Also sounds like that from the Rush. I didn't give you that to see yet, but we'll look at that maybe tomorrow. We'll go into that a little bit more. The Rush has Rush here in our parak in the beginning of Arvei Pesachim. So you have such a view. However, probably what's more prevalent is the assumption that, as Levi was indicating, that Yayin is an Asmach. This is a view that you see in Tosfos in a few places, and also quoted by other Rishonim in the name of Tosfos, and other Rishonim in their own names, that Yayin is an Asmachta. So Tosfos, for example, on our parak, on that Gemara about Zochreyu al Yayin, Tosfos and Daf Kuvav Mar Aleph, if you had a chance to see that. And Tosfos also brings this up in the beginning of Nazir. So that Levi was making a reference to Nazir. So the connection to Nazir is that the Gemara brings it up, that the Gemara understands in the context of Nazir, a pasuk we read in Parshas Nasa a few weeks ago, that there is a prohibition for the Nazir to drink wine. And the Gemara talks about how that impacts on Yayin Mitzvah. So the wine, that might be an obligation as a mitzvah. And in that context, the Gemara brings up Kiddush v'Avdalta. So Kiddush and Havdalah as relevant to that. So Rashi understands, because there's a mitzvah min haTorah to have wine for Kiddush. Again, whether that Rashi is genuine or not, but that's how Rashi brings it up over there. However, Tosfos comments over there as well, that one should not get the impression that the wine is an obligation min haTorah for Kiddush, because that's an asmachta. There's also a discussion, I put it towards the end of the sources, as a ritva, in the end of the first parak of Nedarim, because it goes to this question, if somebody is going to take on an obligation of Nazirus. So in general, we say that when somebody takes a shvua, so a shvua should not be able to override a mitzvah min haTorah. So how exactly is that in play over here? And does it make a difference if we say that it's only a mitzvah midrabbanan? So in the context of that whole discussion, you also have a back and forth about whether wine in Kiddush is actually an obligation min haTorah, or is it an asmach? So let me ask you this. So to say that it's an obligation min haTorah, how does that resonate with you? Right, so do you find that in the pasuk at all? Now, if that's what Chazal are telling us, so it's in the pasuk, but the question is, given the possibility that it may be an asmachta, so it means the Gemara is telling us one of two things, or somewhere in the middle. Right, that the pasuk means this, Zochreyu al Hayayin. Or, according to, say, Tosfos, the pasuk does not mean this. and you don't see anything in that language that tells you wine, and wine is an obligation midrabbanan, although still somehow reflective of the goal, so you have to analyze that. Or could it be somewhere in the middle? Levi, what would you say?
I think that the pasuk for Nazir, the Yayin HaSechar pasuk, shows that there's at least according to, I can't remember which comment it was, that there is a concept of wine being d'oraisa for a mitzvah. What that mitzvah is, I don't know.
Because why would we need the language otherwise?
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's going to be more helpful for us maybe to focus on Zachar Yisrael Shabbos Akadsho, though. Right? So from that language, so the Gemara in our parak, it says, Zachreyu al hayayin, what seems to flow better for you? That is an interpretation of the pasuk, the words in there that mean that? Or, no, I don't see that in the pasuk at all. Chazal are probably telling us an asmachta here. Ari, what would you say?
I mean, that's just the pasuk. Like, usually we understand that when the pasuk says Zachar, that the way that you remember is through Amira. We say this really in Sefer Samali. I think Tosua mentioned that in the context of Sefira, we also see associations with Yayin. There's some pasukim in Tanakh that seems to lend themselves to that, but just based on the pasuk, like I see no relevance to wine being a Torah obligatory requirements.
Okay, so you actually brought up a very interesting thing there. So first off, you don't see any word that necessarily means wine. But the truth is, actually interpreting the language of the pasuk already has a challenge for us, because the language of Zechira is itself a very loaded bag, because we have a number of times that the Torah tells us, Zechira, tells us to remember something. We've talked about this also throughout the year, so many enhancing themes that build on top of each other. So here to find this again, that the notion of a mitzvah of Zechira is repeated in the Torah in a few contexts. And what is a mitzvah and what isn't is actually a topic of a big discussion. We are in the habit of saying, and the Sidurim print, that there are 6 mitzvos of Zechira. It's actually a little bit of a question how to count. Not everyone assumes there are 6. There are some that really do seem to be commandments, and some that are a little bit less clear, and some that are subject to dispute. So if you want to get the whole range, there's probably between 4 and 9 mitzvos of Zechira. If you count only the ones that everyone agrees to, or you count all the possibilities, you get between 4 and 9. So sometimes it certainly seems to be it's a clear mitzvah, right? Zechira Tzitzias Mitzrayim, we've been talking about all year, seems to be a clear mitzvah. Zechiras Amalek seems to be a clear mitzvah. Right? Zechiras Shabbos is what we're talking about here. Also seems to be a clear mitzvah. So there are certain obligations that pretty definitely should be counted in some form or another. Although, as we're seeing, even once we acknowledge something as a mitzvah min HaTorah, we don't necessarily know how much that includes. In addition to that, so we talk about the 6 Zechiros. The other 3 that are commonly counted are the remembering of Matan Torah, and what we just read in the Parsha this past week, the incident of Miriam, and also the Avera of the Chet HaEgel. And regarding those last 2 specifically, so the Ramban writes in his commentary to Chumash, and in his comments on the Rambam, that the Rambam said for HaMitzvos, that this is a real mitzvah min HaTorah. The Rambam didn't count them. He ironically forgot the mitzvah of Zechira, but this is a real mitzvah min HaTorah that we have an obligation to remember Miriam, to remember the incident of the Chet Egel, this is also imperative. So you could have six, you could have fewer, and there are some that count more. So, for example, of Levi Yitzchak or Berdichev, in his Sefer Kedushas Levis, he has a kuntris on the six zechiras. But if you look, it's not the same six. So he has a few extra ones, the Zechiras Eretz Yisrael and Zechiras Haman. Not Haman as much, but Haman. So there are a couple of different languages in the Torah that are subject to interpretation. So even if we could whittle it down to the clear mitzvos, it's very striking that they don't have the same formulation and practice as each other. We know, and we spoke about this probably a little bit perm time, talking about Zechiras HaMalek, that Zechiras HaMalek has one set of obligations, and Yetzias Mitzrayim has been our major theme throughout. Certainly a very complex mitzvah that's different from any other Zechira. And Zechiras Shabbos, as we're seeing, is also not so simple. So how to translate a word in a pasuk, what it means, there's a lot behind that. So what Zachor means itself, to have a consistent interpretation of Zachor is going to require a lot of juggling. So you're right that we don't see anywhere else that Zachor means wine. So why should we think that here? Now, one of the questions, just to bring another topic onto the table here. So the question of whether Zachor is verbal or not is itself a whole discussion. Might you think that thinking is enough? That maybe Zachor is a mental process, and just remembering Shabbos would put me in fulfillment of the mitzvah min haTorah. Does the Torah actually require me to say anything? Now, in the context of Amalek, it was a explicit drasha in the Gemara and Megillah, that when the Gemara says, the pasuk says in Amalek, Zachar al tishkach, Zachar asher asalach Amalek, los tishkach. So the Gemara says that yachol b'lev, the Gemara and Megillah, I could have thought that it's enough just to mentally remember Amalek. Tamalomer lo tishkach, that extra language requires us to say it out loud. So that's also going to be a part of the question, the statement. Is that part of the mitzvah min haTorah, or could I perhaps have fulfilled Kiddush min haTorah without saying anything out loud? So there's a medrash, there's a Torah's Kohanim, that understands the language of the Pasuk to include specifically a spoken reference. But that's also where there's some room to figure out what exactly is min haTorah or what isn't. So, okay, so what does Zachar mean, just to that detail? Does it mean out loud or not? That's already a whole discussion. But is there anything in there that means wine? So, on the surface, Ari seems to be right, and clearly a lot of Rishonim also agreed with you. But that leaves us trying to struggle a little bit. That how could anyone see wine included in this pasuk? Is there any indication of that at all? Well, one thing to look at is there is another word. Right, it's not just Zachar Shom HaShabbos, but it's Zachar Shom HaShabbos L'Kaddisho. So we'll have to figure out what does L'Kaddisho mean. And as you could imagine, there are a whole host of interpretations of that also. But could that be the modifier that is helpful here? That maybe that's telling us there's a certain way in which we have to remember Shabbos, and that is going to make it sanctified. What does even sanctified mean is itself a question, but somehow distinct. So is that a clue? Does the role of wine serve the purpose of being Mekadesh the Shabbos? That the Zechira should be either in some dramatic way or in some uplifting way? So thinking about the role of wine, especially in the context of a parak, where Chazal have also appended four cups of wine to another mitzvah min HaTorah, is itself interesting. So this is going to be something that we really need to figure out. Right? Where does wine fit in here? Could wine really be part of the mitzvah min HaTorah? And even according to the majority view, that it's not a mitzvah min HaTorah, it's certainly something that Chazal understood as being reflective of the goal of the mitzvah. So one way or another, wine connects to the theme of Zachar Shomer Shabbos Nekadesh. Either it's something we actually could extract from the language of the Pasuk, or it's something that Chazal understood as relevant enough to make that mitzvah, and that's also something that we'll have to figure out. So how does wine connect to the theme of Zachar Shomer Shabbos Nekadesh? That's something that we're going to have to try to figure out. Now, one question in between is it possible to say that maybe there is a kiyum min HaTorah of wine, even if there's no mitzvah min HaTorah? Right? Is it possible to say that incorporating wine into the Kiddush process makes it more kadosh somehow, and therefore is a fulfillment of the directive of Zachar Shomer Shabbos Lekadesho, even if that's not an obligation, even if I can't read this pasuk reasonably to say that I have to have wine? But Lamaisa doing so perhaps reflects a kiyum of Zachar Shomer Shabbos Lekadesho. So all of that lies before us to explore a little bit. Okay, but wine, as we see, so here we find a debate among the Rishonim if this is a part of the mitzvah min HaTorah or not. And there's a lot that we'll have to try to see about that. But that's one of the major issues. Okay, so what else is up for debate as far as whether it's min HaTorah or not? What else would you think is up for debate? Levi's got a raised hand, I can't tell. Yeah?
Yeah, it was whether
Nashim are Hayavos in it. Well, it sounds like from the Gemara that is pretty straightforward, that it is that women are obligated in HaTorah. Now, once we start breaking it down into parts, so we could say that some parts yes and some parts not. But out of the whole package, let's say wine and Makom Suda and the specific language.
I know they are, but I feel like it could be that they are obligated, because they're obligated, it could go, there are some proofs to that they're forced to arise, and there's others that it could be Durabon, if it's arise, so I think, isn't there an Indian to say that's business?
Yeah, there would have been. That would have been the expectation. You would have thought that Mitzvah Seishas Mangrama should have patterned women from Kiddush. So the fact that they're Chayavos is a Kiddush because of the Hekesh, right? Because it's basically the Torah telling us this is an exception. And it's a very interesting topic to explore. Like we saw, we talked about this a little bit in the context of Zechiras Tzius Mitzrayim, that the whole notion of when there is an exception and when there isn't an exception, what does that say about things? And does that concept distinguish between mitzvahs d'oraisa and d'rabbanan? So how exactly does that play out? There's a lot to try to understand about that, for sure. But it sounds like min HaTorah, this drasha, as the Gemara understands it, gives us a override on the mitzvah seishas man grama concept, and women are obligated min HaTorah in Kiddush. But we need to know is what is Kiddush. So we saw wine, that's a machlokas. What about the statement itself? So what the words of Kiddush? How much would the Torah require us to say or not say? if all I know is Zachar is on Shabbos Lekadsho, how much of that needs to express itself in words? What if I just say Friday night, I say as I'm coming out of shul, Shabbos? Is that an obligation fulfillment of the Kiddush? Maybe even less than that. Maybe I could just nod at my friend and say, Shabbos, Shabbos. Does that fulfill the mitzvah in our Torah? Ari? Okay, so then let's follow the whole flow of the pasuk now. So Zachar, so Shabbos Lekadsho. So let's assume that Zachar means to speak out loud. It's interesting, if you remember when we talked about Zachir Sisiyas Mitzrayim, the Chassam Sofer and the Tshuva that we saw, he actually assumed that in that context, the language of Zachira by Yitzias Mitzrayim could have just been fulfilled by Machshava, theoretically. But here, when it comes to Shabbos, so we're assuming that it has to be spoken out loud. But what has to be spoken out loud? So it would seem on the surface that if I just remember Shabbos, so that maybe could do it. Remember Shabbos, okay, Shabbos, got it. Shabbos, that's enough. But what about the word Lekadsho? So Lekadsho, that seems to add something significant. So this is what Ari was analyzing a little bit. So what does Lekadsho mean? So Lekadsho means to sanctify. So does that mean I have to mention Kedusha Shabbos? Maybe it's not enough to say Good Shabbos, I have to say Good Shabbos Kodesh. It's a real possibility. Or maybe it's not that the word Kedusha has got to be there, but that tells us to understand the nature of the Zechira. The nature of the Zechira is itself an act of Kedusha. And Kedusha, in its most literal form, means to set aside and to designate something. So somehow, my language should designate Shabbos as significant. So maybe it doesn't necessarily have to be the word Kedusha. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. But maybe it should be something that shows us that Shabbos is not a normal day. So whether it is good, like saying some kind of general praise, some kind of Shavach, so maybe good Shabbos is better than Shabbos. Or maybe it's specifically Kedusha, good Shabbos Kodesh. Or maybe it's anything else that goes to distinguish this day, and that's also how we saw maybe wine could be brought into the picture. Because the wine itself is the way of calling attention to the distinction between Shabbos and other days. Now, it's also interesting, Menachem was, I think, the first to mention the possibility that Havdalah should be in this package. Right, the Gemara in our parak on Kuvav also, the Gemara does bring Havdalah into the equation, right, to suggest that there is a package here. which we can understand, especially if we want to demarcate Shabbos as special. So we probably have to get it at both ends. So b'chnisaso and also b'yitziaso, that coming in and going out, we should make note of Shabbos. So if that's the case, so that's itself interesting. So does anyone say that Havdalah is min haTorah because of that? Nachum? Very good, right? So the Rambam's language in the beginning of Perek Chof Tes of Hilchos Shabbos, the Rambam, as we'll see, has got a lot of interesting things to say about Kiddush. So the Rambam understands that having it in both ends, b'chnisaso u'v'tziaso, is all a part of this message. So we can understand that if we're saying l'kadsho is to designate it as special, so it's got to be roped off in both directions, and we need to know before and after. So therefore, Kiddush and Havdalah may indeed create a unit, a set, where both of them fulfill this notion of L'Kadsho. So there's room to see L'Kadsho as bringing in various other aspects for a mitzvah min haTorah, even though any one of these are subject to dispute, and certainly not saying that everyone would agree that all of these are min haTorah, but that various aspects min haTorah are possibly included by the language of L'Kadsho. So the way the statement is made, what does the statement need to contain? Does it need to contain language of praise, language of distinction, maybe language of literal Kedusha? Does that itself tell us that there has to be a closing statement also, Havdalah? And could that even be seen as telling us that wine has to accompany the Zechira as well? And if not as an obligation, at least as a fulfillment on some level. Okay, so far so good. Everyone with me? Okay, so we're about to run out of time, so let's recap. But tomorrow we're going to look to explore all of these in greater depth. But together, another question, and I would say if you have some time tomorrow or today, maybe you'll have time more today, look at the Pasuk in Yisro, and look at Rashi, and look at the Ramban, the Ibn Ezra, look at some of the Mefarshim on the page, and tell me, do you think that this is the thrust of the Pasuk? This major idea that's on the Aseres HaDibros. So even if we say that Kiddush to whatever extent is included in that Pasuk, is that the main mitzvah? Or is there a different notion that the Pasuk is telling us? And Kiddush somehow fits in together with a lot of other things. So is Zachar Shem Shabbos L'Kadsho a mitzvah of Kiddush? Or is it a mitzvah that includes Kiddush? And especially if you say that it includes Kiddush, but is not just about Kiddush, so then that could reduce the role of how much is included in the Pasuk. And in fact, there is one view, the Bahag, that the Bahag does not count Kiddush as a mitzvah min haTorah. And the Bahag's language also indicates that the whole Kiddush itself is an Asmachta. So we saw that many Rishonim said that the Yayin is an Asmachta, but the Kiddush is min haTorah, and certainly that probably, if you had to pick one view that's mainstream LaHalacha, probably both of those halves are most popular LaHalacha, that Kiddush is min haTorah, but wine is not. But the Bahag's view is that Kiddush itself is an Asmachta, and that the Pasuk is not necessarily focused on a mitzvah of Kiddush. So that's something we'll explore a little bit more tomorrow. So just to quickly recap, so we tried to understand the number of things that we know that the mitzvah of Kiddush nowadays as practice requires us to make a bracha that includes themes of Kiddusha and of distinction and praise of Shabbos that we do Friday night on a cup of wine, which we may or may not drink. And we have that specifically at our Makom Suda that we didn't get to yet at all. And we also make Havdalah when Shabbos is over, and we make Kiddush again during the daytime. So all of that is a part of our obligation nowadays. And Kiddush is generally taken to be Minat Torah, associated with the Pasuk of Zachar, Shema Shabbos Tekadsho. How much of that whole Pasuk is included with the mitzvah? That we saw, there's a great diversity of opinion. In fact, at least 15 different shitas in Rishonim and Achronim as to how much is included. We focused first on the question of wine. We saw that Rashi in a few places kind of sounds like that's Minhag Torah. Tosfos in a few places sounds like it's an Asmachta. The Rishonim as well. And then we got into the question of how could it possibly be Minhag Torah. And Levi noted the interaction between this and Naziris, which is a major part of the discussion, the Rishonim in Nazir and Dav Dalet. And the question of how could it possibly be included in the Pasuk, so that got into the definition of Lakadsho, and we saw also the possibility that either it's maybe seen as an obligation from the Pasuk, or at least seen maybe as a Kiyum, that maybe we could say, okay, there's no clear obligation, but somehow you are enhancing the Torah's directive of Lakadsho by incorporating the wine. And that what has to be included in the statement is probably also affected by Lakadsho, and also the question of bounding off the day as holy, which may get us to the notion of Havdalah as well, like the Shita Sarambam. And that was also thrown into the mix as part of the spectrum of what we have to try to determine. So Be'ez Hashem, we will pick up with this tomorrow. Again, please send any feedback you have about format and timing and the like. We'll try to work what we can. But also, just to begin with for tomorrow, so we'll try to take up the question we haven't talked about yet at all about Makom Suda. So we'll try to see how that fits in. That's going to be a major topic in this parak, but at least just to see where that gets in. And also look at the Mefarshim on Chumash to try to get as much of a view as possible as to what is the main message of the Pasuk of Zachar Shom Shabbos Lakadsho. With that, I wish you a wonderful day, and I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Should be only good things.